Blog Talk Radio.
Each and every night of the week, in grateful appreciation to the men and women of the United States Armed Forces and the men and women of Police and Fire Services by Dr. Kathleen Carroll, a board-certified psychiatrist in private practice since 2003. Dr. Carroll previously was the Director of Inpatient Services at the Bay Pines VA Hospital and the Bay Pines VA Medical Center. Dr. Carroll specializes in the treatment of children ages 6 and under and the treatment of adults, from the womb to the tomb. She's also an all-time triathlete, so if you're having any problems breaking through a level of athletics, or if you have any problems in life, please don't take it out on yourself. Don't take it out on your family or police officers or firefighters. Get professional help. Dr. Carroll's office is located at 336 East Bloomingdale Avenue in Brandon, Florida. Her phone number is 813-689-2466. Ladies and gentlemen, this program is going to be dedicated tonight to a very close friend we lost this week. National Baseball League umpire, Jim McKean. Jim suffered this last year with MRSA, and he succumbed the other night in his sleep. So to Jamie and Marie and the kids, we wish you well. We know he's in a better place, and we want everybody to know that we love you. We're going to take a short break here and call Dr. Chris on the air, only because my other two partners are a little bit. Hello?
Hello?
Hey, Chris.
Good friend.
How you doing?
Okay.
Good. Well, I guess you're happy that Belichick won, huh? We had that bet last week.
Oh, I had that ass backwards. Last week I thought that I had the whole teams backwards. I had them mixed up. But he won anyway. But I think Brady threw a phenomenal game, you know?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he threw a phenomenal game. How the hell could a man that age, in that cold weather, throw that ball that accurate, you know?
Yeah.
So, you know, how you want to do. But it was close. It was close.
Yeah.
Could have gone either way. Fat Andy could have, you know, but he just doesn't perform. He gets out-coached. I don't care what the hell anybody says, you know?
They
destroyed him the first half, you know, so he couldn't recover. But it was fun to watch.
Both games were fun to watch. And you know,
They really were. I enjoyed both of them. I didn't leave the house. Stayed the hell in all day, watched football.
Yeah.
So.
And next Sunday's going to be a bigger one with the Super Bowl.
Yeah, that one's a little harder to figure out, you know?
Yeah.
But both teams are good. Both teams are arriving right at their peak now. We'll see what happens. I like the interior line of L.A. That's a big mooses in the middle of that line. That Gordon's better than I thought he was, you know?
Uh-huh.
So we'll see. We'll see. Two good quarterbacks. How's the show going, all right?
Yeah, good. We had a... boys are a little busy tonight. But we did have a tremendous bout last week with Manny Pacquiao and Adrian Broner. Of course, Broner claimed at the end of the fight that he thought he won the fight, but if you looked at all the scorecards, it didn't sound that way. It was a unanimous decision, and Manny did look good.
He's amazing. That guy's amazing. He just keeps going. Nothing happens. His body doesn't age. He retains his speed. It's amazing. You know?
Mm-hmm.
A guy that size. So.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't see the fight. I didn't get it on pay-per-view. Something wrong with my TV. But they're going to rerun it tonight, right? Probably rerun it tonight. I'll catch it tonight.
And we also have... tonight we have our good friend Keith Thurman fighting Joselito Lopez.
I'm going to make sure I get home in time for that. I want to see. This Joselito's a different guy. Just saying that he's a better opponent than you think.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see. I don't even remember him fighting.
Yeah, I was up at the gym on Monday and talked to Keith and. He's pretty psyched up about the fight. You know, he's been off 22 months.
He hasn't fought for a long time.
Yeah. Well, he had a series of injuries, and preparing for his last fight, remember, he broke his wrist. So that put him out again. And so he's recovered. He looks good. He's very fast. His speed and his footwork were absolutely fabulous this camp. I was talking to Dan, and Dan, of course, is very optimistic about the fight that they're going to come back with another win.
Keith is a power puncher, but he doesn't move in the ring like a power puncher. You know, he moves around. I think he moves around too much, and dances away and all. There's no need for it. When you're that hard a hitter, I think you should stay in there and try to get that guy the hell out of there every second of every round. You know, I think he lets guys hang in there too long. I hope the hell he doesn't do that tonight. We'll find out. We'll find out.
You know, I just happened to think of something that some people were talking about Manny Pacquiao, the last fight that he did cut his cornea, and they were worried it was going to be a disabling eye injury. But it, so that our fans know that, and Manny's fans know, that's not true. It's just a scratched cornea, and he'll have an ocular patch on for about a week, and it'll mend itself, and he's ready to go again. But
that's amazing at his age. That's just unbelievable how he bounces back. I mean, keeps fighting at the top level. Never takes warm ups. I mean, doesn't take tune ups or anything. Just goes right in, fights the best of the division, and comes out on top. That's and he was at one time he was 118 pounder. Can you believe that? When he first started, Jesus, God.
When you look at him, he's really Boo Boy's father has got him really in a good physical shape, and has him built as a power puncher again. Although again, he's only had one knockout in the last couple of years, but
When you get to the top of the division, it's hard to knock those guys out.
Sure.
You know? They're good fighters. They all got good chins, or they wouldn't be there in the first place, you know? So.
Right.
What time's that go on? In a little bit? Is that on pay-per-view or is it on regular?
That'll be on regular tonight.
Oh, okay. Good.
Jeff Horn is... wants a rematch with him. What's your thought about that one?
Who?
Jeff Horn. He's the one that beat him last time.
He's a pretty good size. Was that guy from Australia?
Yes.
Jeff Horn, yeah. Well, it would be a good fight. I'd like to see it. You know, it was competitive last time. It'd be competitive again, probably, especially since Keith's been away for a while.
He went to fight.
That's a long damn layoff, Frank. It's a long layoff.
Mm-hmm.
It's a long layoff. I hope he's not ring rusty, and then you can get that way. You know, we'll find out.
Then we got next week, I guess it is. Yeah, we have Alvarez going against Sergey Kovalev. That should be a bloodbath. What do you think?
Alvarez. When the hell has Kovalev fought a good fight? He's been away. You know what I mean? He's been at the. He hasn't been looking good. I don't think much of him anymore. I think, you know, he was a power puncher, but he's easy to hit. And I think the bubble's been bursted with Kovalev. I think he's not the fighter he once was. That's for sure. He doesn't have the mystique about him that he's, you know, such a hard hitter that nobody can stand up there. But I think he's got to make a turnaround in his career, or he's going nowhere. You know that.
Yeah.
You know, he hasn't looked good at all in the last couple. Yeah, he hasn't looked good at all. And at one time he was like considered unbeatable as a light heavy. Not anymore. Mm-hmm. You know, it was what's called burst that bubble, and he hasn't got it back yet. So we'll see what happens. That's another guy that. I hope he put his money away because he don't have much of a career left as far as I'm concerned. You know?
Yeah.
See what happens.
Sure.
Is Kathy Duva still handling him?
Yes. Yeah.
She got any other good meal tickets? She got a couple of them, doesn't she?
Yes, she does.
She got some good stable.
Yes, she does. She's got most of the Russian stable is hers too. She spent a lot of time in Russia developing between she and her matchmaker. They've been over there a lot, scouting the different fighters and signing fighters. But I was surprised that Manny signed with what's his name? Oh God, I'm having a brain fart here. Same as the guy that Keith's with.
Okay.
Yeah, but I was surprised that she had developed a program over there. You know, her sister is working with that kid Cornflakes out of Vineland, and they're putting on a show down in Newport News this week.
Really?
They went down. Yeah, they asked Frankie to help them sell some tickets down there. And he had helped them out.
I've never been in Newport News. I've never been in there. Never been down there. I've been to the beach there. And I've been to Norfolk. I've been in that region a lot, but never been to Newport News. Where the hell is it located down there?
It's right below the beach.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a naval port town, like everything else.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Been to Norfolk a lot. My son went down there to buy a boat, and oh God, what an ordeal to buy a boat today. You got to check it out. You got to have it put. So that you don't get hosed like an old horse trader. You know, you don't know what you're buying.
Right.
But boy, oh boy, they went over. It cost them $1,500 to have it evaluated. There's a company that stopped the boats from people from shafting other people, selling them lousy boats, you know. A Navy SEAL had it, wanted pretty good money for it, but it was worth it. But so far, it hasn't gone through yet because they had to do all this study and then this and take it out in the water and. Oh,
yeah.
Christ. So you can't get stuck with a bad boat. And he wound up not taking it.
I had never heard of a marine engineer before. A friend of mine was going to buy a boat, and he explained that whole process to me. And that's a completely I was completely lost.
Yeah.
He was buying the boat, not me.
Yeah. Well, that's a quick way to get stuck. You know, my brother bought this fancy horse one time. Fancy horse, and it looked great. My niece took it and won about three jump meets with it. The horse was unbeatable. And one day his head's over the fence. And he's looking at me. He drops dead. He started shaking. He fell over dead. My brother only owed him about a month, and the horse trader was long gone. For about $15,000, you know, and Mary Alice was crying. I thought, "Holy Christ, my brother got taken." It had some hoof and mouth disease that the vet missed. You know, a simple thing, and he was just over on the Route 202. He had to add 100-acre farm off of 202.
Right.
I drove by. I said hello to the horse, and. I stopped at the red light. I saw Mary Alice going. I went back. He's looking at me, and he started shaking. Boom! He went over. No previous. my brother went crazy. He wanted to go shoot the guy. Yeah, he was long gone, man. Yeah. Oh Christ. So.
What do you think about Khan's chance? Amir's Khan's chance at this next fight he's got.
None at all. I don't think he's got a snowball chance in hell of winning that fight. I don't care for the man's defensive style. It's good for about 4 or 5 rounds, and sooner or later, the left hand goes down, and he gets hit on the chin, and he can't take it, and he goes. I think he's going to get knocked out within 8 rounds. I don't even think it's going to go past 8. Those guys figure him out quick, you know, and I don't think he's going to do good at all. I think he's you know, his career is coming to a halt. He'll bluff a few more paydays out of it, but I don't think he stands a chance in this fight. Could be wrong. Mm-hmm. Where's Zito tonight?
Zito suffers from migraines.
Oh, really?
Migraine. Yeah, and Ty is filming. You know, Ty has is a filmmaker. And he had two of his films were shown at the Sundance Festival out in Vail, and he won whatever they have their Oscar for that program on his last film. So he's got another one. He's in the middle of making. Yeah.
Wow.
Really, they're both great kids.
Both great kids. Where the hell do you get that talent? How do you stumble into that?
Geez, you know, I don't know.
I have no idea where to get started. Well, why?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
No, why would
he walk, talk, and breathe it? You know, and then he's got his daughter. His daughter's a very, very lovely lady. I think you met her when we were up at when we were up in the Philly area there at Stanley's,
mm-hmm.
Asia.
Right.
She has she's a model, and he does a lot of her bookings and takes her and a couple of girls up to New York for modeling things too. So he's a young entrepreneur. Yeah.
Some guys just have that knack. David DeBeery. He got his hand in everything. You know? Davey went out to Ohio to fight. He wound up staying in Ohio and being an MC for all the fights. He talked his way right into the best deals. I said, Davey, how the hell do you do that? You go up there to fight, and next thing you know, you got the mic in your hand for 6 months. He did all the fights in Ohio. And then he comes back, and he dreams up these things around the Delaware. You know, he's got this going, that going. He's like, I haven't talked to him for a while, but I haven't talked to Joe either for about 4 months. I'd like to get back. I'd take a ride down there and see him, say hello. But he's doing the same, you know, same thing.
You know, Joey's wife had a little boy.
Yeah, it's right. I saw Mario. Mario told me. That's great. I know she was pregnant when I last saw her.
Right. Yeah, I'm not sure how much longer his fight career is going to be on, but
I don't.
He did have a fight at the FOP Hall out in Hocasant just before Christmas, and did very well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he don't fight that often anyway. You know, once or twice a year. That's it. You know.
But he was trying to promote to be able to get out there, and I guess that just because his Uncle Nick was helping him as a matchmaker, but he found out it wasn't as easy as he thought it was going to be.
A lot of work behind the scenes.
Yep. Manny found that out.
Yeah.
He tried to put it on. That's why. He went.
He's just tougher than I thought. These guys deserve a little bit of the money. They don't deserve all of it, but they deserve a little more than you know, thought they were worth. But
let me ask you another question about Gervonta Davis and Abner Maris, February 9th in New York. What's your thoughts on that fight?
You know, I like Maris.
Mm-hmm.
I like Maris, but the other guy's good too. That's going to be, you know, there are no easy matches anymore in that weight class. Everybody can fight. And then you got to fight for your life in that weight class because they're all young, they're fast. You know, they're all. That's a tough division, Maris's division. And he's doing that boxing show during the week now on TV. What do they call it? He's doing that along with Porter, and they do a good job. I was surprised.
Yeah, the challenge.
Yeah, they do a good job. You know, they hold themselves well. They speak well. They're both of them. It's a new show. Comes on regular channels. Sports ESPN. Comes on one of the channels between the ESPN thing. And it's really good. I enjoy watching it and listening to those guys. It's going to get better.
You know?
It's going to get better. We're going to do better. But it's nice that there's a show like that on. Of course, you got field hockey, you got girls basketball, you got high school basketball. You know, it's nice to have a show like that. People get an inside view of things. That's great. So I don't know who invented or got that idea, but it's a hell of an idea. I just wish they'd put some of the old fights on, incorporate some of the old fights in, like greatest fights of the century type thing, and you know, mix it up, old timers, upcomers, you know, it would be interesting. I don't think this generation has seen Carmen Basilio and LaMotta and Graziano. They don't even know who those guys are. They think boxing started after Ali became champion. They don't even know there was a boxing before then, you know. But they could bring it back, put some old fights on. And mix it up. It could be a hell of a show, you know. So we'll see where it goes.
What would your of all the fighters that you've seen over your span, who would you say was the best fighter that you've ever seen?
Well, you know, you got to go back to the 40s. I started watching it about 46. 45, 46, 47. In that era, if you take everybody out of that era, it was a pleasure to watch Graziano, Sugar Ray, Willie Pep, all those fighters. But, you know, it all comes down to Robinson as a featherweight, I mean, as a welterweight, was practically unbeatable. You know, LaMotta was just what he was. He could take a punch. It couldn't hurt him. And, you know, he'd beat you with his face, you know. But you know, at that age, at 47, they had greatest fights of the century on every week. And I got to see all the guys from the 30s and the 20s. And there was many, many, many great fighters. Of course, there was thousands of professional fighters in the United States. But, you know, the single one out is the greatest who had it all. You probably have to go to Sugar Ray as a welterweight. And Willie Pep, before he got in that bad plane crash, before he fought Sadler, he was practically unbeatable. You know, and if you listen to my father, he goes all the way back to 1905, 1910. And he was a big fan of the middleweight that got murdered, that fought Jack Johnson, Ketchell, Stanley Ketchell, and some of the featherweights. So it's hard to just say one. It's hard to say one. Each of them had a different style, you know, a different weight class. But it was an enjoyable sport in those days. It was very, very, very talented group of fighters in the country, and then that started the Friday night fights, and then the boxing was in its heyday in the public eye in those days. I mean, it was, you know, the heavyweight champion was the number one title in all sports. The boxing held a different position then, you know, I got to go back. Probably if I had to pick one guy as the most formidable fighter, I'd have to pick Joe Louis. Formidable. Yeah. I mean, the puncher, just a killer. It was a killer. Hard to beat, man. He was, you know, but if you want to go style-wise, you know, you got to go with Sugar Ray. And you know, you can't say anybody was better than him as a welder. Mm-hmm. Now, as a middleweight, he was a totally different fighter. He wasn't a great middleweight, but he was a great welderweight, unbeatable as a welderweight. So that was a good era. And TV just started then. And they used to put the fights on independently. They didn't have what you call Friday night fights. They would put them on independently. It was mob controlled. The whole thing was controlled out of Philly and New York. And the matches were great. The matchups were great. You know, you had mandatory challenging every 6 months. You couldn't sit and wait a year or two and still hold the title. You had to give somebody a shot. So there was good fights being, you know, on at all times. There was good fights going on. And it wasn't like the NFL wasn't the sport it was, and it didn't occupy its place like it does now. And boxing was up there with the World Series and the collegiate champions. You know, the Army, you know, the Notre Dame Army years were great years in football and college. And then, you know, but it held a different position. I would say the number one sports event of every year was the heavyweight championship of the world when Lewis would fight, you know. That drew the most attention, a huge amount of attention. So one of my favorites growing up, I would say, was my favorite fighter to watch was Graziano, but Lewis was one probably the best of his day. Well, of course, he held the title 10 or 11 years, you know.
Right.
He held it a long time. So there was so many good fighters to watch, you know. And a lot of guys came home. Go ahead.
I used to love to sit with my dad and mom and watch Friday night fights, Gillette's Friday night fights. It was always a good show.
Yeah. Yeah, they put new talent on, you know. Where the hell this guy come from?
Yeah.
And he'd be an instant hit. He'd be an instant hit in 1 week. He'd fight once, he'd look great, everybody wanted to see him next week. Why can't he fight next week? they all couldn't wait. And they built up a huge following. I mean, the Basilio, that's when Basilio grew up. Basilio, Gavilan, and that crew. They became, you know, household favorites in those days.
Sure.
And they fought, too, man. When they fought, you saw a fight. You didn't see anybody running around the ring for 15 rounds. It was a fight.
No.
Or you don't come back. If you're not a crowd pleaser, you don't come back. You know?
Right.
But it was an exciting era in boxing, that era, the Friday night fights, all the way into the 50s and 60s before it died out. So it was a great era.
Yeah.
Sports were great to watch in those days. Of course, you turn ESPN on, they got the craziest of all is that thing when they roll it on the ice, they sweep it in front of it.
Oh,
you know, and then what the hell?
Curling.
Can you believe that? You're going to watch curling? What the hell? You know, what the hell is going on? And this crazy, it is crazy. These kids jumping around on these skis, spinning, making five spins on it, going down a hill. I mean, that's terrifying. That's terrifying. Oh, my God, that scared you half to death.
Hell, yeah.
The X Games.
I can't stand those either. Too much can go wrong, and people get hurt.
You know, it could be a disaster, and then take that risk. You know, that's really dangerous. Those kids, you know, I worked as having a dental office. I can't tell you how many kids' teeth I repaired trying those stupid damn jumps, knocking teeth right out of their mouth, you know, trying to put them back and save them. And mother come running in a panic. What were you doing? Well, I was trying this move that I saw on TV, and they'd make a makeshift jump up. You're behind the eight ball just to start with, you know?
Sure.
Crazy damn kid.
Sure.
Sure. But you know that's the challenge they want today. They want to do that. I mean, that's, you know, to go up and down and spin around and you're flying, and it's dangerous in skiing. It's dangerous when you do it on the wood platforms. It's dangerous. I mean, nothing I'd want to try. You wouldn't catch me doing any of that crap, you know?
No.
Hey, but they make money at it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You know, years ago, when we lived up in Philly, Frankie was a skateboarder and had a pretty good following. And he was friends with Tony Hawk, who was a multimillionaire now because he makes his own boards and he has all this and that and everything. But I used to worry every time he'd walk out the door that he was going to come back with a broken limb or a broken leg or whatever.
Broken wrist. They love to break their wrists. Compound fractures, you know, they come in with bones sticking the hell out of their skin, you know.
Sure.
And they were trying new stunts all the time. And kids came from all over the area to go to Philly to do different jumps. They I don't know where the hell they got the it was like an underground where they were going to do something crazy, and they'd find out about it and wind up in Philly getting hurt, you know. I mean, you don't bounce well off of concrete and things like that. You know, that's not a good thing to hit. It's not soft grass. And man, guys got hurt. Big fractures in it, you know, in their skull, cuts all over their head. I mean, that's a dangerous thing. Kids are crazy anyway. They like to pull off stunts you know, eat too many evil Knievels around in them days, you know?
Yeah.
And then he led the charge. Everybody wanted to be an evil Knievel, you know?
Sure.
What an era.
We had a WBO middleweight champ, Demetrius Andrade, scored a 12th round win over Arthur Akova. Do you know much about Andrade?
No, I don't. We haven't seen him that much. Have you seen him much yourself?
Yeah,
I haven't seen
him. He's a pretty sharp fighter. He's quick at the hands. Again, like you say, he dances in and out. But he'll take when he comes to the center of the ring. He brings his best punches.
Mm-hmm.
Seems to.
I've been watching these. I've been watching these 8-rounders. There's a show comes on all 8-rounders. There was a good kid, Joey Spencer, I think his name was. Good-looking prospect, 154-pounder. I've seen some damn good prospects. There's a lot of guys that are 14-0, 15-0, but they fought 15 nobodies. You don't know what they got till they start matching them, you know, against each other. And then you can tell what the hell they have. But there was a white kid on named Joey Spencer. 154 could do it all. Got great potential. You'll hear about him in the future. He's definitely going to the top. Give him about another year and a half. He'll be ranked. He'll be up there ranked and be fighting for a title shot.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of talent out there. Because there's a lot of money in it now.
Sure.
When you don't make it to the top, you make a lot of money on a 6-rounder and an 8-rounder. You know, it's not $40, $50 for a 4-rounder anymore, you know?
Right.
You know, 6-rounder, you know, and guys are getting adequate paydays and they're in there fighting. And you don't have to fight till you get your face look like somebody hit you with a shovel. You don't have to fight that long. 16, 18 fights, you're fighting for a title, you have a chance to make some big money. So there's a wealth of talent coming into the game, you know? It's a whole different era now with TV and all this, you know. So it's just enjoyable. I watch as many reruns as I watch live fights. I put Channel 373 on Showtime.
Mm-hmm.
So I watch that almost every night. I put it on to see who's fighting. It's either that or Strikeforce. It's either that or the best of the MMA.
Uh-huh.
My wife says, "You watching boxing again?" I said, "Well, these are all reruns that I missed." And they're a lot of fun to watch. And that's how I'll catch Manny Pacquiao. You know, I missed a fight, so I'll see him this week. And you know, along with the Super Bowl, see what the hell happens.
Yeah.
It's going to be an interesting day.
Yeah.
I got a funny feeling about that. That L.A. is a little better than we think they are. Because they got a great interior defensive line. And it's going to be hard to run against. I don't think the Patriots are going to have a great running game against them.
No.
I mean, they you know, with Sue in the middle and Gordon, they're formidable. Mm-hmm. But Belichick will run off tackle. He'll run around them. You know? Yeah. He runs wide. He does that handoff instead of going up the middle. It goes in the between the tackle and the ends and out wide. But you don't want to take those guys on all day long. You wear you the hell out.
Sure.
They're formidable.
Sure.
It's going to be interesting to see just how good a coach, because definitely L.A. has more physical talent than the Packers, other than Brady, and their quarterback's not that far behind Brady, but the rest of the team. They're a bunch of nobody, no names. But, you know, and how the hell Belichick gets these no names out and they're performing at that level, I don't know. And so it's going to be interesting. See what the hell happens.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got a call from Joe Walton. They're all down in Puerto Rico enjoying themselves. They called me up and kneel. Hey, the sun's out. We're hitting balls. Come on down. I said, guys, I said, I can't even breathe up here. I'm showing properties 2, 3, 4 times a week. I got problems. I got to meet with this contractor. As Christ, I never have a day off. It's not work. It's just meeting people, talking, and trying to find a solution to selling the property and dealing with realtors. And Lance was away in Atlanta, and he can't go meet these guys and spend 3 hours.
Right.
And he's busy in the dental office, you know. So I try to explain to him, I just can't come down, guys. I can't get loose.
Yeah.
Maybe in a couple of weeks, you know, but not right now. It's at its peak now. I mean, I'm just
sure
somebody's got to buy up here. That's all. We got to sell something, then we can ease off a little bit. And that's where we're at now. We got about 6 properties up for sale, and we haven't sold anything in months. So.
Mm-hmm.
We're keeping our fingers crossed. See what all happens.
Hey,
yeah, I've been doing a lot of work with my grandson Frank. He lifts weights. He's got a a professional trainer. 3 nights a week, I go over and watch him, and it's really interesting to see these guys train these young kids. They don't let them bodybuild. They try to work in stretching and you know, they don't let them use too much weight and they stop them from doing those crazy damn squats, which hurts their back. And I've been watching. This guy knows what he's doing. And I get a kick out of my grandson. He thinks in 1 week his arm's going to grow an inch, you know.
Yeah.
And he goes over to the mirror. He flexes in the mirror every time. He goes back.
Yeah.
He went, you know, Christ, he's funny. Yeah, the kids are funny, you know.
Yeah.
They're all trying to make it in the athletic world. Comical as hell.
My grandson Ty has just made the weightlifting team at the high school, and I was surprised. He's been working out. We bought him a bench and for Christmas and weight everything. And I'll tell you, the kid is now. He's got defined. He's got a nice six pack. He's working out.
Doesn't
hard.
Take long. They know what they're doing. You know.
Yeah. Yeah.
They know what they're doing, and the results are pretty quick. They're pretty quick. And then the Garner Valley weightlifting, they have them weightlifting like once a year. They draw as many people as they do for a football game. The parking lot's packed where they put these shows on of weights and how much they lift, and the people are amazed how strong these little kids are. You know, and, of course, there's a bunch of big kids that are strong, too. But you know, it's really great to watch them. And then they got, you know, Garner Valley sends a lot of kids away to school. They don't send them to Notre Dame and places like that, but they get these lesser school scholarships. save themselves one hell of a lot of money.
Sure.
You know, you get a partial scholarship, you know, and it's $30,000, $20,000. You know,
right.
The school today's $50,000 a year, you know.
Yep, plus.
I mean, we send kids to Villanova. We send them all over, and they're all, you know, up into the Ivy League. Up into the Ivy League has drawn big out of Garner Valley. They give great scholarships, and the schools are phenomenal that they're going to, you know.
Right.
So, as a matter of fact, you have to laugh at the father. They you see them pushing their kids. You know why? They get some kind of a scholarship to ease the burden, you know.
Sure.
And the girls. The girls get terrific scholarships, equivalent to the guys.
Uh-huh.
I know Lance's girlfriend in high school got a scholarship to Yale for field hockey.
Wow.
And then went on to med school. From Yale, she went to med school. Today, she's a practicing physician. All because, you know, a good field hockey program got her in. She could never afford to go to Yale.
Right.
You know?
Uh-huh.
So it turned out to their advantage. So
mm-hmm.
It's great to watch kids go away and come back, you know,
sure.
Not being hot and hock.
Jorge Linares, he lost his last fight to Cesar Cano. The guy just overpowered him. Do you think he's got a shot at staying active, or what's your thoughts on Linares?
Linares, he's a damn good fighter. A damn good fighter. He had his day, though. I think his best days might be a little bit behind him. You know?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, because the other fighters coming along are great in that division. And he was a good fighter. I liked him. But the competition is so fierce in the later divisions. You know? 140, 135, and you know, one. I mean, there's fierce competition. You don't have to lose much to go to the back of the back of the class, because boy, these guys they're coming along. I mean, as good a fighter as Linares was, he didn't last long at the top. A couple of years, and you better make your money and get the hell out. You know, if you lose a step in that division, you're behind the door somewhere. You know, they don't give you a second chance there. I don't know how much of a career he's got left, because I'm not really 100% sure on who's coming up. You know, that couple of the fighters are really good that I watch. So he's going to have his hands full trying to make it. You know, as far as him coming back on top, you know, I don't know if it's going to happen again. But he was a damn good fighter, you know, when he was there, when he was on top. So. And like I say, these other kids are hungry too. They want to come up and make some money too. So, you know, you're fighting hungry fighters all the time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they get a taste of that money and they realize they're going to have a short career, and let's put it away while we can. You know, there's a different attitude amongst trainers today. They try to, you know, get their kids into investments that are going to, you know, carry them into their later years. Because what the hell do you make? You know, Sugar Ray Robinson was fighting Basilio, and he took the federal government to court on income averaging. He said, I'm a fighter. My career is going to last 10 years. I got to live 60 more. He said, what money am I going to have left when I can't fight? So he took income averaging, and the Basilio got furious because they had to cancel the fight and put it off another 4 or 5 months. And but Robinson did everybody a favor, because they were and that's when there was that you were in the 80% category, so he income
right.
averaged and he won the battle for a lot of not only the fighters but the rest of the athletes. The rest of the athletic world was able to stretch their income out. And I know Marciano fought twice. It didn't pay him to fight anymore because, Christ, that one fight, 80% of his purse went to income tax. So he said, what the hell is the sense of me fighting? He retired. He didn't, you know, he said, so that's, you know, that I guess that's what's going to happen with these kids. They're going to have to watch their investments, get some good advice if they're going to make big money, and then try to have something left around in an IRA when they get older. You can name on one hand the players that got any great money left from their careers. You know, Sugar Ray Leonard got his. Sugar Ray Leonard has got a lot of money. His lawyer really took care of him, as opposed to Duran and guys like that who are dead broke. You know,
sure.
They don't know where their next meal's coming from. So,
right.
Different ball game today. They've all been aware of what can happen to it. And it's starting to drift into the NFL too. Those guys, they make these big contracts and they blow all their money buying sports cars, this and that, the big home.
Right.
And then all of a sudden they get cut or traded or they get a knee injury. Now they're dead broke and they haven't put any money away. It's
right.
Getting into the NFL and basketball, same thing, baseball. Of course, they're as knowledgeable. These athletes are very knowledgeable of their income to be spread out and, have a nice life when they retire from the sport, because you got to prepare for it, and they're well aware of it. So
it's funny you talk about that, because we were talking to Chris Wheeler on the from the Phillies on Wednesday night show, and he was saying that they're still close to a contract with Machado, but Chicago offered him $800 million. Now, the guy's, 25, 26 years old?
Say that again, $800
million? Million dollars.
Did you say 800?
Yeah.
Oh, Christ.
I used to be able to take my kids to the vet for knot hole days for 25 cents a piece, and I think I paid a dollar. Now the cheapest, when we were up there this year, of course, we had a good friend in Dan Baker, their announcer, and he was able to get us some tickets. But in the section we were sitting in, I looked it up, and the tickets were $84 a seat.
Uh-huh.
You can't take it. No wonder the crowds aren't there anymore. You can't afford to take the kids.
Yeah, right. You're right. Can't afford to go.
Yeah.
And the parking and this and that, yeah, it's
right.
It's too damn expensive.
Sure.
Yeah, that's why I don't go to 76ers games anymore. Watch them on TV. What the hell you want to go up there for and pay a fortune? You know,
right.
Where your buddy gets one ticket, he takes you. Christ, it's expensive evening.
Sure.
But in the same way with his baseball games, Dominic's son has a box behind home plate, his law firm.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's phenomenal to go to a game there when they're free. You know,
mm-hmm.
You got $200 to spend on your food and stuff.
Yeah.
When they go there, they give you got $200 to spend. You have a great dinner, a bunch of drinks, and you still got money left over. I wouldn't be able to bring three kids, to a damn football game or baseball game. Well, once a year tops,
Right.
It just costs too damn much, like you say. And the amazing thing, when you go to a 76ers game, the young guys all have these season ticket passes. They stay in the hallways and drink. They drink, the guys who are sitting around me, has you guys ever come the hell in here and watch the game? You're at the bar there drinking up beers, and the beers are like $8 a piece,
Yeah.
I mean, it costs a fortune. What the hell do you guys do for a living to be able to come here and spend that kind of money,
Yeah.
So, it is. It's getting too damn expensive.
The WBC won a fight with Triple G and Charlo using Charlo as a mandatory. What's your thoughts on that one?
The biggest Charlo, Jamil or Jamal? Which is the bigger
Jamil.
One?
The bigger Jamil? One. Yeah.
Jamil. Yeah. He's definitely a 160 pounder and a terrific puncher. I'd love to see that match. From the day I first saw Charlo, I said he's going to grow into a middleweight, and it's going to come to the time when he reaches the top of his game, the Russian will still be there. And it's going to be interesting to see that fight. Because Charlo can take a punch, too. Not only can he hit, he can take a punch. And then, you know, we'll see what the other guy has left. We'll see what Triple G's got left. But that's going to be a great fight. And I think that Charlo might as well take it because where's he going to make that money down the road? You know, where the hell is he going to get a drawing opponent? So it's either going to be either or for Charlo. You're going to find out what he's got. And did, have they been talking about making that match?
Yes, they are.
That'd be a great match. Mm-hmm. Outside of fighting Canelo. I mean, we've seen enough of Canelo, and I'd like to see him fight an up-and-coming fighter now, like Charlo. I'd really like to see it. And that'd be a great fight. It's got the old guy against the young guy mystique about it, too, you know? So it really would be interesting. And we'll find out just how tough Charlo is, you know, after he gets hit. You know, but, although he has taken a punch. He has got hit, and he has taken a punch, so he's not all talk. He can fight. The guy can fight, and he's strong. And he's a strong 160-pounder now. Big boy. I think he's 5'11", I think. So it'll be a hell of a fight. Be one hell of a fight.
Yeah.
So when's that coming up? Or when are they talking about making it for the fall?
They're in the negotiation now, but they haven't said excuse me. They haven't set a date yet, and they haven't set a purse yet. And so we'll be seeing that in the next few days. We'll be seeing when that's going to be going on.
Well, it won't be cheap to get it won't be cheap to get Triple G, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And Charlo's going to have to take probably the lower end of the cut, but it'll still be more money than he's ever made, you know.
Sure.
And so he should take the match because there's a lot of competition at the 160 level now. Guys are getting bigger. They're growing into it from 154. You know, they get a few fights at 154. It's nothing to jump 6 pounds.
Sure.
You know? So it's going to be interesting. It's going to be a lot. I knew that fight was going to happen from the day I saw Charlo. I said, you watch. A couple of years, this guy will be fighting for and 160. He's too damn big to stay at 154. And sure, here he is now. And Triple G's got enough left. He's got enough left. And he's got a good chin so that he won't be any lucky punch taking him out of there. You're gonna have to do some fighting to take him out if you're gonna take him out. It'll be interesting to see. I'd love to see that fight. So we got Keith. Okay.
Yeah,
up against our time?
Yeah,
all right.
Yeah, we're up against our time. And I was just going to – let me just see if that's on yet. Keith is CBS tonight. Oh, I'm sorry, Fox tonight.
Fox, all right. I'll go put it on, see when it's on.
Fox,
I'll get the recording. All right, Frank.
All right. Well, thanks, Chris. I appreciate it.
Well, next time I talk to you, we'll be talking about the Super Bowl. All right.
That's right.
I'll see you, Frank. Take care. Bye now.
Thanks.
Bye.
Ladies and gentlemen, these programs are brought to you each and every night of the week in grateful appreciation to the men and women of the United States Armed Forces and the men and women of Police and Fire Services. When you're out there and you see somebody in a uniform, please acknowledge them. Let them know you know they're there. A smile, a wink, a handshake, anything you can do. The best thing you can say to anybody in uniform is either thank you for your service or be safe, my brother or my sister. These programs are dedicated to those who lost their lives in the line of duty. Deputy Robert Anthony Carroll, Patrolman David Curtis, Patrolman Jeffrey Colcap, Sergeant Thomas Batinger, Patrolman Jeffrey Yazowitz, Deputy Randy Bell, Detective Ricky Childers, San Diego Officer Mike Hendler, Lieutenant Mike Zerber, Newcastle County Police, Patrolman Anofo Crispin, Lakeland PD, Chief Al Hogle, Longboat Key Police Department, Chief Jimmy Ford, Wilmington Fire Department, Highway Patrolman Alonzo Moses, Philadelphia Highway Patrol, Highway Patrolman Brian Lazaro, Philadelphia Highway Patrol, Highway Patrolman Brian Murphy, Plymouth Township PA Highway Patrol, Lieutenant Bob Neary, Philadelphia Fire Department, Sergeant Mike Wilson, Charlotte County Sheriff's Office, Deputy Chief Mike Godwin, Philadelphia Fire Department, Deputy Jonathan Scott Pine, Orange County Sheriff's Department, Patrolman Robert Germain, Windermere, Florida Police Department, Trooper Chelsea Richards, Florida Highway Patrol, Lieutenant Joyce Craig Lewis, Philadelphia Fire Department, Patrolman Charlie Condit, Tarpon Springs Police Department, Hillsborough Deputy Sheriff Charlie Kotloff, Delaware State Trooper Sergeant Rodney Bond, Captain Chris Leach, Wilmington Fire Department, Lieutenant Jerry Ficus, Wilmington Fire Department, Lieutenant Artith Hope, Wilmington Fire Department, FDLE Special Inspector Vinny Galaccio, Delaware State Trooper Corporal Stephen Mallard, Patrolman Kissimmee Patrolman Matt Baxter, Kissimmee Sergeant Sam Howard, Captain Matt Letourneau, Philadelphia Fire Department, Deputy Bill Gentry, Highlands County Sheriff's Department, Deputy Clay Zerba, Clay County Sheriff's Department, and Special Deputy Sheriff Natalie Kernova, L.A. County Sheriff's Department. My brothers and sisters, though, you may be 10-7 at this point in time. At some time, we'll be 10-10 at the table of the Lord. Till that time, may the roads rise up to meet you. May the winds be always at your back. May the rains fall softly on your fields, and the winds run lightly in your face until we meet again. May the good Lord keep you and your families always in the hollow of his hands. Good night, and God bless. Grief. County Dispatch to 1999. County Dispatch to 1999. All units be advised, 1999 has responded to his last emergency. May God rest his soul.
Hey, Bob.